Saturday morning to you out there, wherever you might be on this Saturday morning. This is Real Life Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger. Good morning, Beth. How are you doing?
Happy March 9th. I'm doing good. I got spring fever. You got like a little spring break fever? Your kid's spring break coming up?
Oh, yeah. A couple of weeks. I definitely have spring break fever. This is like the, you know, most professional people, they're like, hey, I don't go by the school calendar. You know, I get a week in the summer, a week at Christmas kind of thing. But, you know, for a guy who's worked in a school for 30 years, my kids are still in school. I mean, it's like, this is the dark days. You're getting out of that long February dark.
Yep.
All that stuff. And so, yes, it's like, yes, spring break, Easter, all that stuff right around the corner.
Are you a spontaneous spring breaker, like a week before? You're like, everybody, let's just get in the car. We're going to go to Florida. Or are you kind of more, you know, I got to plan this out. I've known since October. We're going to the timeshare.
Yes, we are the second of those because spontaneity usually leads to spending too much money. So we are planners. We know we're going to Destin. That's kind of where people from this area of the world go, to Destin, Florida. So we're going to Destin for spring break. We've been saving our nickels and dimes and pennies and occasionally dollar bills so that we can afford to do that.
I like that. Well, we're going to one of our sites. Back to Back Ministries has sites in parts of the world, and we're going to go visit our Mazatlan, Mexico site. So I'm kind of excited about
fun.
That. I know I haven't been there yet, so I'm going to go, and we're going to go visit the 6 orphanages we have there and the 8 staff that are there full-time. And it doesn't hurt that it happens to be located on the ocean, which, you know, Jesus just simply won't let me live anywhere full-time near an ocean. He knows I'll be too distracted.
Well, I gotta say this. You know, people who are making their spring break, if they're spontaneous, right, they haven't planned. We spent a spring break with you guys in Monterey. We took our family down, and we had a mission spring break. It was awesome. I mean, so if you're looking for warm weather and sunshine and something that has some purpose, Monterey would be great.
Tacos,
Mazatlan would be great. The other part is I'm going to put a plug in for all the sites down there.
Yeah.
We spent a spring break as well in Cancun.
Yeah.
And while we spent the whole week in Cancun working, there are plenty of folks, and Back-to-Back has sent it up, that if you're vacationing in Cancun, that you can spend a day or 2 days. So it's sort of like a trip with a purpose. It doesn't take the whole time, but it's just a fabulous spring break opportunity. You're already there, and you kind of get to see the other part of Cancun if you happen to make that your trip as well, but the poor city part.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So our family still looks back at those trips. When we went to Monterey for spring break and to Cancun for spring break, They were fabulous trips for our family, and we still talk about them.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, go to the Back-to-Back's website, and you can click on coming to a trip, and we'll get you all the information you need. If you are looking for a spontaneous place to spend either your spring break or summer break or pretty much any, we'd love for you to come out here.
Absolutely.
I'm excited about today's guest. I've been wanting him to be on
the
show for a while, so I'm glad that our schedule is all coordinated.
Yep.
We have Jed Metafiend on today. He's got I'm sure you'll read his bio later. He's got all kinds of accolades, but he's an author, and he's the president of the Christian Alliance for Orphans. But one of the little known facts about him is that he worked in Bush's administration in the White House. And I've got a little, like, you know, I don't know, political fantasy going on in my mind. I mean, I think to myself, in my next life, I'd like to be Governor Guckenberger. And it would be.
I've heard this fantasy before.
I just am curious, if you could have any job in the White House, Dr. Rob Hall, in what area, what cabinet seat, where would you like to serve in the U.S. government if you had your spot?
Okay, well, I can think of a few. The first one, if I would serve in the White House, I'd want to be the chef, but I know that that's not what you're talking about.
I'm sure.
Secondarily to that, I think that my next choice would be ambassador to something. I'd like to be an ambassador.
Oh,
right?
What country?
So, you know, I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but, you know, as a follower of Jesus, I'm called to be an ambassador of his kingdom, right? And so I've kind of learned some ambassador skills.
Oh.
So I'd like to be an ambassador someplace. Preferably someplace nice and warm and friendly.
That doesn't sound like a very challenging assignment.
I don't have any political fantasy to be the governor or a senator or a cabinet.
Supreme?
No, I don't have a fantasy to be involved in politics.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you do. I mean,
very much.
You have talked for a long time about wanting to sort of be an influential person within the context of politics.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see what God has for me. Every day is about listening and taking the next step. So we'll see if it ever leads me there.
Well, I would say the first step, if that's going to work, is you have to live in the United States of America. That would be a good first step. So pick a state, any state. Just move to the United States, and then perhaps you could be governor or senator or a mayor or something.
Okay. Well, as I was reading Upended, which was written, Jed co-authored it. It has lots of personal antidotes. And one of the things it talks about is about success. The subtitle is How Following Jesus Remakes Your Words and Your World. And it talks a little bit about success. And so I was just curious, Mr. Hall, when's the first time you felt successful in life?
Oh, my gosh. We talked last week about having Dr. Phil on the show. Are you just going to take, like, his role here?
I mean, third grade spelling bee, fifth grade basketball tournament. Come on. First time you remember feeling successful.
I don't know. I mean, the first time. I mean, literally the first time.
Literally that you can remember.
So off the top of my head, literally the first time I can remember being successful, it must have been kindergarten or first grade. Let's talk about
early
pulling the memory
receiver.
Out. Like playing, like I think it was the softball throw. Like field day or something. I could throw the softball farther than anyone else. I think that's the first time that I was like, yeah, I am successful. Which in first grade meant I was better than everybody else.
Yes, it does mean that, especially in the softball throw. Do you find that in the educational realm? You know, you're like in an innovative educational environment.
Yes.
Is there still traditional measures of success? Like you still want kids to get 90 out of 100, you know, on their spelling test? Or are you embracing other ways to define success?
My gosh. See, last week, I think we talked, or 2 weeks ago, we could have a whole series of shows about education. You just asked a loaded educational question. So,
there
needs to be other measurements of success other than a summative assessment that says I got a 90 or a 95. Or there are ways to do formative assessments or other kind of assessments or process-oriented rubrics. See, I'm sounding like this geeky guy. But there are ways to measure success, for lack of a better word, other than what does the number tell me? And quite honestly, again, schools need to figure that out.
And what about in light of the fact that we have this shared faith? Like, does how Jesus view success impact that?
I don't know. Tell me.
I mean, I think so. I think the first time I wrote, the first book I ever wrote, I thought to myself, God could have had this whole thing been written for one person. And if that one person reads the book and makes a decision in their life, then it's been successful. But my flesh wanted some kind of numeric value to determine the success of that book. But really, I mean, the whole thing could have been an exercise just between Jesus and I was successful the minute I finished it. Which I like that idea that God can upend our current view, cultural view of what success is.
Obviously the first will be last, the last first. I mean, the scripture is full of ideas of what it means to quote unquote be a winner, to be successful, to be right.
Yeah.
You'll find your life when you lose it. All those kind of things are Jesus upending our idea of what it means.
And you know what I like about real life, real talk is we can start in Destin, Florida, and we can end with, you know, if you have your life, you're going to lose it. I mean, it's
that's right.
It's, you just never know exactly what you might get on this show.
That's absolutely right. And what you're going to get after the break is Jed Metafiend, who's written a new book. It's called Upended, How Following Jesus Remakes Your Words and World. He also happens to be totally passionate about orphans. So we're going to talk about that, too, one of our favorite topics of all. So this is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob. That's Beth. Join us right after the break. We'll be talking to Jed about his book, about his desire to love and care for orphans. We hope you're having a great Saturday. We'll see you in just about 60 seconds.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Ibram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
Welcome back. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Guckenberger. Beth, how are you?
Happy Saturday morning to you, Mr. Hall.
Happy
I'm doing
Saturday
really good.
Morning.
It's nice
well, that's
to be
awesome.
Here in Mexico. I feel like
you say, you say that every week.
You say it every week.
You want to rub it in. It's nice and sunny here. It's 80 degrees.
I mean, it's not why I live here, but I'm just going to say it is a little icing on the cake.
I know. I think you're just poking at me. I think you're just saying, see? It's nice and sunny where I live.
You can love Jesus and serve orphans in Mexico.
There you go.
It's an invitation to all.
I'll tell you what, every week I say it, I think, just like you say it's warm in Mexico, I'm like, where do we get the people who are going to be guests on our show? I mean, most of them you know or have interacted with, but these are
quality.
Great guests. I mean, come on.
We have a quality
people, great guests, and today is no exception. Jed Metafine is joining us. He's the author of a new book, Upended, How Following Jesus Remakes Your Words and World. He also, I mean, he's done a ton of stuff. He serves as the president of the Christian Alliance for Orphans. He worked in the Bush White House, special assistant to the president, leading the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives. I mean, interesting stuff. And so, I mean, this is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Hey, Jed, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well, Beth. Thanks for having me on the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I wanted to take a moment just to introduce you. I know you and I have a lot of things we can talk about. I certainly want to address orphan care, global orphan care, where it's going. I want to address some of the principles you've unpacked in your book. I want to talk about the summit and what's coming up. But just kind of start by giving a little bit of your story to our listeners. Introduce yourself to them. Tell them maybe how you came to know the Lord and how orphan care became such a central part of your life. And just walk us through a little bit about your story.
Sure, Beth. You know, it's so interesting when you look back on your life. I'm sure every believer looks back and sees all these threads that in their own time, you know, made no sense, and yet they weave together and have brought you to the place where you are, and you know the Lord's still weaving that into some future reality. And I, you know, so thinking about the ways that he led me into focused work on orphan care, there's a lot of threads in that. And certainly, you know, one is just I grew up with wonderful Christian parents who loved the Lord and lived that out and continue to do so. And so just, you know, from my earliest days, real desire to be about things that God cares about. And, you know, as I got older, it became clear through Scripture that one of the things he really cares about is the cause of the orphan, the child that has no one else to stand for them, and that when we take that up and when we engage, whether that's becoming a mentor to a kid in a local foster system or adopting or investing in work around the world to care for orphans, we're coming closer to God's heart. And so that has been something that's been so meaningful and special to me. But there's, you know, some other threads in that as well. When I was working in the Bush White House, as you mentioned, in the Faith-Based and Community Initiative, many of the initiatives that President Bush initiated, including the AIDS program, PEPFAR, really, you know, focused in special ways on orphans and vulnerable children. And so through that work, saw firsthand both the deep needs of children around the world, as well as the beauty when people respond to that and provide love and nurture to these kids. That was truly moving. And then also my wife and I, we have five kids, one of them through adoption. And just that process of adopting a precious little one from another part of the world where there is so many children growing up without families, when you become attached to one particular child and you come to love her so deeply, it really opens your eyes and heart to all the other little ones who are growing up like she would have had you not been able to provide a family for her. You realize there's so many still in that situation, and so it just fires your heart up to say, how can we get more involved in supporting various ways of providing love and nurture for those kids? So, you know, like I said, there's all these different threads that weave together, but when I was offered the opportunity to help lead the Christian Alliance for Orphans, all of those threads kind of wove together into a you know, big response in my heart saying, wow, what a privilege to get to pour into that work.
I love that. You know, one of the reasons I really particularly wanted to have you on today is I wanted people to know about the Summit of the Orphan, this event that the Christian Alliance for Orphans puts together in the spring, this gathering of like-minded folks from all around the world, really, that come together to talk about that. And tell me a little bit about the origin of the Christian Alliance for Orphans and kind of how it's trying to be this rallying point, this central organization, which just tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Christian Alliance for Orphans is a coalition that now includes more than 130 organizations, and all of them are doing different work. Some are working in the foster care system here in the U.S. Some are working overseas, like in Mexico, caring for vulnerable children and orphans in their home countries, and others are adoption organizations and groups, and some aren't providing any direct services, but they have a desire to see the church really get more involved in caring for orphans. And so about 9 years ago, some 30 leaders came together saying, you know, we share two deep commitments, one to Jesus Christ, and second to living out our faith in care for the orphan. And they were asking the question, you know, we're each doing our own thing separately, but can we be more effective? Can we do more joining together and working on certain shared goals together? And so that was really the genesis of the Christian Alliance for Orphans. And every year since then, it's grown. As you mentioned, the national gathering of these people has been called Summit. And this will be the ninth year in Nashville, May 2nd and 3rd. And it's, you know, Summit is really, it includes everything from these, you know, veterans who've been serving overseas for decades to people who are totally new to this and saying, you know, I'm really interested in getting more involved in the local foster system, or I want to get my church serving more overseas, or I'm interested in adopting. How can I learn more? And it just brings together this incredible mix of people who love Jesus and who want to live their faith out caring for orphans and learning how to do that well. And so, you know, it's just for me a huge privilege to get to help lead this organization along with some great staff and volunteers all over the country. And really, our goal is to see the church increasingly rise for orphans and to do so in effective, God-honoring ways both across the U.S. and around the world.
You know, Jed, it raises a question. If I'm listening out there and I'm not in the profession, I'm not, offering direct service yet, but I'm interested in learning more about doing it. It sounds like the Summit is a place where they could come and also learn and perhaps see if this is really something that they want to step into.
Absolutely. You know, the Summit has more than, actually, believe it or not, more than 100 workshops will be offered. And, you know, and they will range from just really, entry-level workshops on understanding the basics of the local foster system or working with social workers to, you know, be a mentor for kids locally, and church-to-church partnerships, partnering your church with groups working overseas to care for orphans, really kind of entry-level stuff to very advanced stuff. Like, you know, how do you forge partnerships with indigenous organizations and churches in other countries in ways that both honors and lifts up the local church without, you know, creating dependency or unhealthy things in the local church in other parts of the world. And, you know, those are very complex questions. And so it's really fun to have both newcomers and veterans interacting together in one place and, you know, all of them sharing just a deep love for Christ and a deep love for orphans.
Well, I know that we'll share the contact information at the end of the show as well, but just even now, you may have piqued someone's interest. Where can they go and find out information about that if they wanted to do that right now?
Yeah, the focused website for the conference itself is summit9.org, summit, and then the number 9.org. And, of course, anyone could also go through our main website, which is CAFO.org, for Christian Lions for Orphans.org. They could just go there and go to the summit site as well.
Great, great. What do you think, Jed, is the best way, in your opinion? We got a lot of people on that talk about orphan care. They suggest people get involved. But in your opinion, what's the best way for a person who's interested in orphan care to take that first step and get connected?
Well, you know, of course, I wouldn't want to overemphasize Summit and the promoting my own organization's conference. But
you can do that.
Well, I just think it's a wonderful place for people to connect with others who share the passion for these things, to think through some of the hard issues. One thing I really often emphasize, and I saw this so much working with a range of needs when I was in the White House, is any time you come close to deep human need, you're going to encounter really complex questions to which there isn't necessarily a clear answer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Christians, when things get complex, God doesn't just send us back home to our comfortable lives. He calls us deeper, and he calls us to become well-informed, to wrestle with those questions, but then to move forward and act decisively despite the complexity. And so, you know, Summit is a great place to really begin learning about those things, make connections with great organizations and leaders who have thought about these things long and hard, and then begin to act.
You know, one thing I appreciate about the first summit I went to was several years ago, and at that point our organization had already been serving orphans in multiple continents for over a decade. But you can get kind of siloed, right? You can kind of get in your own, just in your own bubble where you know what your issues are and you know what your strengths are and you know what you have coming up, and you just get busy about your own little kingdom. And one of the things I appreciate about the summit is the way that for several days, you take your eyes off of what it is, the garden that God gave you to work in, and you can see a wider picture. And then the relationships that formed for us out of some of those several conferences have been beneficial to our ministry all year long, as we've met with people, you know, both formally and informally at different events associated with the Christian Alliance for Orphans, and we've been able to say, hey, we're doing this well, and we are not doing this well, and you are the opposite. So how can we leverage our strengths, and how can we learn, what are you reading right now? What are you, you know, where is it, and how is it, are you growing? And I think I can just say, personally, the impact that the Christian Alliance for Orphans has had on back-to-back ministries is it continues to spur on our staff to be learners. You know, we're always learning. We can't, I tell people all the time, I pray we are different than we were 3 years ago, and I know we'll be different in 3 years than we are today. But that spirit, that there is a best practice, there is a spirit-led way to do things and continue to be a learner and not a settler, it's a fantastic, I don't know what the word is, this fantastic spirit that's come over the orphan care world. And I definitely think that you all are a big part of that. So anyway, thank you. Thank you for that.
That's great to hear. And I really appreciate that. And I feel the same. I just love the learning that always happens, myself included, as we enter into those times with people who are passionate about these things, who are thoughtful, and who are willing to kind of do that iron sharpening iron. You know, it's this year we're having a full day pre-summit, the day before summit, for people who are leading and serving in orphan care organizations around the world, for them to look at various models for working to help kids get more connected with people in the community, whether that's in families or, you know, if there's no option for a child to be placed in the family, at least that there would be a mentoring relationship, a long-term adult relationship. And we're going to be, you know, just bringing together people who have been trying lots of different models for doing this in Central America and in Russia and in China to share their models and wrestle through together. How do we best do that? And, you know, I'm excited to listen in and hear from these people.
Yeah. Well, we're going to shift gears after the break. We're going to talk about Jed's new book, Upended, How Following Jesus Remakes Your Words and World. So we hope you join us right after the break for that as well. This is Real Life, Real Talk. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care, at 877-374-LIVE.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Abram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach. But more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Welcome back. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Guckenberger. We're talking to our guest today, Jed Metafiend, who we spent the first segment with Jed talking about his work with the Christian Alliance for Orphans, where he serves as the president, and the upcoming summit for folks who are interested and passionate about orphan care. And so, but we're going to transition a little bit and talk about his new book, which is called Upended, How Following Jesus Remakes Your Words and World. So, Jed, welcome back.
Thank you.
Jed, I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the premise of the book and kind of how the idea percolated inside of your heart and mind until you got to the point you felt like you needed to communicate it.
Absolutely. My co-author, Eric, and I, we've been friends for many years, and both of us, you know, have served most of our professional career in the political realm, you know, speech writing and press secretary, a lot of different roles there. And what we began to feel is that so often, you know, the deep Christian faith that we both held and commitment to the Lord often felt very disconnected from daily life and work. I mean, it was, you know, we have these grand truths that we believe with all our heart. But often, you know, on Monday morning, it just felt like we were back in the world of, you know, making hard business decisions and work and making messages, all these things, that there seemed to be a separation from eternal truth and daily life. And that wasn't just true professionally. That was, even sometimes felt that way in family life and in marriage and parenting and things. And what really provoked us forward is realizing how much Jesus has to say and teach us about how to live daily life. You know, the book of 1 John talks about whoever claims to live in him, whoever claims to live in Jesus, must walk as Jesus did. And what Eric and I wanted to do is learn to walk as Jesus did in the small daily choices of life. And for us, of course, a big part of that was communication, both professionally, delivering messages and those things on a political, public level, but also personally, connecting with our spouses, loving our children well, nurturing them, serving and loving others in our lives through the way that we listened and talked and told stories and all of those things. And so we really went with fresh eyes back to the Gospels to try to learn from Jesus in this, you know, very central aspect of life, which is communication. And for both of us, ever since, this has been an incredible journey. The book is in some ways just the tip of the iceberg of what we continue to seek to live out, and which really has brought a fresh vitality, I'd say, to everyday interactions, whether we are, you know, writing a blog post or a speech for someone else or just, you know, in quiet moments with close friends.
You know, I noticed when I was reading through the book, you know, you've kind of broken it down into really some bite-sized pieces that people can almost read as a separate chapter. And, you know, through attentiveness, life through attentiveness, or life through authenticity, or incarnation, concreteness, rest. I couldn't help but think, as authors, which of those, when you were writing them, said, yeah, this comes natural to me, and it just was pen to the paper, I know all, and which of those was the most difficult for you? So which of those is the most natural for you?
You know, I don't know if any of them are perfectly natural. I mean, I think, I feel more keenly aware of the ones that are, you know, less truly natural, and that have been a real, you know, learning experience to realize how much Jesus put a premium on these things, and then try to follow him as a true apprentice, as we like to say, in regard to those things.
So isn't that natural of us? Isn't that kind of the way it is, that we tend to look at things and say, how can I take the things that I'm not good at and improve those? And even in the writing process, it sounds like that you were drawn more to those than the things that might have come more naturally to you.
Yeah, I think so. And it, of course, you know, the things that you're doing naturally, that's just that's wonderful to realize that you're already kind of, in a sense, aligning your life with Christ. But when you see that gap, man, that says it's there's a little bit of a splash of cold water in your face. I mean, you know, for me, one of the biggest of those is the question of attentiveness. You know, we're all so busy today. I think in many ways that, as we note in the book, that's the rarest of commodities. The rarest commodity in America is attentiveness, just people who are willing to give their whole self to the person that's in front of them and listening attentively and truly receiving what is being said. And you know, it's amazing to see, even though Jesus himself was every bit as busy as we are, he had so many demands on his time, people always wanting a piece of him, and yet he put a startling focus on attentiveness. And I just, you know, for me, it was a whole new way of seeing that, reading the story of the bleeding woman, which I had known for many years, you know, that Jesus is on his way with a big crowd to address a serious issue, that the daughter of an influential man was on death's door, and so he was moving quickly with a large crowd, and, you know, someone touched him out of that crowd, and he paused everything. He said, "Who touched me?" And as we know from that story, eventually a woman fell out of the crowd in front of him and said, "It was me who touched you." And what just blows me away about that story is realizing that the Gospels tell us the moment she touched him, she was physically healed. She had gotten what she came for. And yet Jesus knew how badly she needed something more. She needed someone to give that focused attention to her amidst all that crowd and noise. And he was even willing to put off his mission, his critical mission, to get to this dying girl elsewhere to provide that focused attention. And only after, it describes in one of the Gospels, she told him the whole story. Only after that did he say, go in peace. And I just see in that the kind of attentiveness that Jesus calls each of us as his disciples, as his apprentices, to show to those around us. And when we do, man, it's such a rare thing that it makes the kind of people that love more like Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And the recipient of that kind of attention knows that this is not, I mean, this is different, and therefore the one that's talking to me is different. It's a fantastic way for us to reflect Christ. A couple years ago, I read a book, David Dark wrote a book, he's a Vanderbilt professor, called The Sacredness of Questioning Everything, and it brought up to me, really for the first time, this idea that asking questions can be a holy practice, that I'd always thought having answers was a holy practice, but really the questions is part of the holy discipline. And so one of my favorite sections was the eighth section, the idea that we can upend a life of giving the answers, that we can have a life through the questions. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that section and just what that means to you?
Absolutely, yes. I love that section too. And, you know, it was a real, kind of an eye-opening experience to come to the Gospels again and realize that Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, he has the answers. And yet the Gospels record 150-plus questions that he asked. And you've got to think to yourself, why would Jesus, who had all the answers, be continually returning to the question as a very central part of his way of communicating? And you see him saying, you know, what were you arguing about along the road to the disciples when they were arguing? Or what is it that you want me to do for you? Or who is it that you say that I am? Who was this man's neighbor? There, the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan, he asked that question. And, you know, you begin to realize that there is such a power in questions. First of all, it turns the focus from us as the speaker, communicator, onto the other person. So it's a way of loving them. It's a way of serving, in a sense, by turning away from the focus on ourselves to the other person. And then second, it recognizes that if any change is to happen in their lives, it's not going to be something that can be forced. It's something that they have to choose and embrace. And so really the question invites them to lower their defenses, to lower their shield, and to interact with the story or the idea that you want to convey to them, and really invites them on a journey of exploration, praying and trusting that the Lord will work through that, and not worrying that we need to deliver all the answers, but ultimately we can lay the question out and invite them on that journey of exploration.
It reminds me, a couple of weeks ago, we had Dr. David Ireland on talking about his book about racial reconciliation, and he said the exact same thing. If you want to connect with another person who is from a different ethnic or racial background, that the best way to do that is to humbly and out of respect for the other person, ask them questions about themselves. And so it would seem that the parallel here, just in your own spiritual journey, is to also ask questions of God or ask questions of the biblical text, or it's a way to bring new life to what you've been doing. So in the last minute, is that sort of a place for where people could start?
I think it's a great place to start. And, you know, very sincerely, it's been something that's made a huge just difference in my own life in terms of just every interaction. When I go into an interaction, I say one of the primary ways that I can be a disciple to Jesus in this interaction is I can ask good questions. And so I, you know, sometimes even try to, ahead of a lunch meeting I have, or, you know, before my wife and I have some friends over, we think of a couple good questions we can ask. That will just show that we love them, and then we'll lead past some of those trite exchanges we've all had at, you know, receptions or dinners or
right.
whatever it is, and begin
yeah.
to enter into the something rich, meaningful. And, you know, it's amazing right. how all the ways when we become apprentices to Jesus and those little things, it really begins to change daily life.
Absolutely. Well, we hope you hold on just after the break. We want to get some information out again as well. This is Real Life, Real Talk. Join us after the break with our guest and with Beth. We'll be back in just about 60 seconds.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. It became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach. But more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Welcome back. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall, along with Beth Duffenberger, and our guest today, just a long list of stuff. He's the president of the Christian Alliance for Orphans, worked in the George W. Bush White House. He led the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, and we've been talking in the last segment about his new book, Upended, How Following Jesus Remakes Your Words and World. Just some really practical, great stuff about how to live out the life that Jesus calls us to live out. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you.
You know, I wanted just one more thing to mention about the book before we wrap up, but this section that talks about life through time away from the crowd, right? The idea that we can upend a life of frantic activity and just the very nature of our to-do list, of the responsibilities we have. I think about, you know, you have responsibilities as a husband and as a father and in your professional life. Then you have your community responsibilities and your church commitments and your extended family, and you got friends on top of that and maybe a hobby or two. And, I mean, you have a lot of things going on. Where in that is there time to get, you know, away from the crowd?
You know, it is just simply a matter of saying this is the number one thing I can do. This is going to be the most important thing to loving my spouse and my children well, to leading an organization well, to speaking truths that others need to hear, is spending time away from others first, to be near to the Lord, to quiet my heart and be attentive first to God. And it's only when we do that that we can offer the world anything more than just a garbled echo of all that noise and static that normally surrounds our lives. We have to take time away from that noise if we're going to do anything more than just regurgitate it.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I would say, just this on the radio here, that I think the evidence of a life that has spent some time away from the crowd is a ring of sincerity to it. We can get kind of insincere when our interaction with someone is the very next, you know, the next thing on our to-do list or one more thing till we feel like we have something checked off or accomplished. But there is a sense of sincerity and a connection when you interact with someone who's coming to you with the cup full and not looking to use that interaction in order to validate them or fill their cup. And I just, I appreciate that idea in that chapter, and just, you know, it's an old idea. The Lord clearly took time away for prayer and for meditation, and even though he knew all of the needs. But it's a good, healthy reminder to us that strong, biblical, spiritual discipline requires time away from the crowd.
That's well said, Beth. I so agree. And, of course, for those who are serving in any kind of ministry, whether leading an organization or volunteering at a church, you just feel such the press of the need, and you think, I've got to get back to that, or I've got to get back to this mm-hmm. or that, or my to-do list. And yet, it's just like you said, we have very little to offer when we don't do that, and we get drier and drier. And I think that's an epidemic among Christian leaders, is people are continually looking to them for so much, and they feel this impulse to give so much that they go without that, and you know, a week stretches into months, and then they get up and they speak or they lead, and what comes out is just kind of a dry, withered reflection of that life to the full that Christ wants us to offer from our depths.
Well, Jed, thanks just so much for being with us today. First off, where can people find the book? I imagine at a local Christian bookseller, online. Where can they plug in and find the book?
That's right. Many Christian bookstores have it, or you know, some of the Barnes & Noble's, Borders, or just online at, you know, at Amazon or Christian book distributors. There's a small website, upended.org, where you know, someone can look at some of the get a little bit of more picture of the content and the book reviews and things like that, and links to mm-hmm. purchase it. So that'd be a place to check it out.
Right. And I don't want to forget the first segment. We talked a lot about Christian Alliance for Orphans and the upcoming summit. Remind people who've been listening where they might be able to find that information as well.
That's right. There's a website for Summit called summit9.org. It's summit9.org. Just the general Christian Alliance for Orphans website if people want to learn more about just the broader coalition of organizations working together to just honor Christ by living that out in care for orphans around the world and at home. And that's at CAFO.org, CAFO.org.
Fabulous. Jed, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me and all that you guys are doing.
Thanks. Thanks, Jed. I'll see you at the summit.
Sounds great. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Blessings to you. Beth, I was reminded as he was talking there at the end, you know, he brought up a great question about how to get away from the crowd and to be an authentic person, and I couldn't help but think of the idea that when we were talking to Bob Goff a few weeks ago, the author of Love Does, and about how he is, what an authentic, great guy he was, and how he just has, the thing that struck me about him, if people recall the show, and if you haven't, I would definitely recommend you go to BethGuckenberger.com and download the show. What struck me about him is he's this guy, he's written a best-selling book, he's everywhere, and he doesn't keep a calendar. He just, whoever's in front of him, he spends as long as is necessary with the person who's come to see him. And if that means it runs over into some other thing, he was actually late for the taping of our show because he was talking to somebody, and he is a guy who lives out that genuine deal in a kind of a radical way. But I couldn't help but think of him when Jed was talking about what it was like to lead a genuine life like that, unplugged from the busyness.
Yeah, I do. I do appreciate that. And I do think that you can hear in someone's voice when they've scheduled you into their day and your problem, concern is one of 100 things that are happening. And when you can tell the difference between someone who's given you their full attention, that idea that they're fully attentive to what it is that you're saying, and if what you need takes the rest of the time, that you'll give it to them. And that really is a reflection of the Jesus who is attentive to us, which just means we should be doing it. But why is it so hard sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing I was struck about, you know, we've just had some great, insightful,
thought leaders,
energetic thought leaders on the show. Just in the last, you know, this is just over a year we've been going, and I'm looking back at the schedule. Everybody from Michael Chanley, Phil Cook talking about his book One Big Thing. Josh McDowell was on the show. Todd Henry, one of my favorite guests, The Accidental Creative. Hal Runkle, the Screen Free Institute. I mean, let alone people just in the last month, Peter Everett from Destiny Rescue. Mm-hmm. There is just a wealth of great, stimulating information.
Conversations.
Thought. Oh, yeah, conversations going on. And we have just been really, really lucky and blessed to have these folks on the show.
I know. I mean, I think that's a happy anniversary kind of sentence right there. I mean, a year later, what exactly we wanted to do to spur on and to engage in conversations of substance. I do think, you know, Jed today, he did that to me. The idea that the Gospels hold for me all the information and all the example that I possibly could ever need in order to live my life as a reflection of the one who saved me. I mean, it's a good reminder that I need to not view Jesus as something far away to study, but as something close to me that I need to emulate. I mean, I do feel that way.
Absolutely, and I just want to remind listeners, again, we're near 600,000 downloads in less than a year, but there's just about any topic that you might want to hit that we have discussed, everything from marriage to parenting to trips to Israel and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. Reconciliation, of course, we talk a lot about orphan care here and, you know, sexual trafficking, human trafficking. And so there's some deep things, some inspirational things, some practical things. Just, you know, it's been a fun year.
It has been a fun year. And I did have one little summit story I wanted to share. It was
please
a couple of years ago at the summit that we sat in on some sessions about ministries who were taking on developing world governments, or so what some people might call third world governments, taking them to task to the fact that there's no foster care, that the only way that they take care of orphans internationally is through institutions. And the World Health Organization would tell you 163 million orphans around the world, only 8 to 10 million of them live in institutions. The rest of them live in a whole host of other areas like domestic support and child militia and sex trafficking and on the street and minor head of household and all kinds of things. So we were challenged by the fact that the country we live in, Mexico, has no foster care. But why? Why? We know a lot of great Mexican believing families who would do it. And it's been a multi-year process, but we are going to become the only licensed agency in the entire Republic of Mexico starting in March to place the very first foster children authorized by the government into families. We're going to do 10 families and
wow.
in our little pilot program. And the city I live in is kind of like the New York of Mexico. It's northern, it's progressive, and there are, you know, state governments around that are watching what it looks like for foster care to be executed in Monterrey because they're ready to emulate it. They know they have more kids and they have buildings to place them in, and that families are the healthiest ways for children to be developed. And it's extraordinarily exciting for our organization. It'll be mind-blowing for the kids who should be in an institution and instead will be placed into a loving, believing family. But I think the impetus for that whole movement came from this gathering of people and this exchange of ideas. And we really, all of us, need to continue to be good students in whatever area that God has asked us to multiply, that we need to be reading and conversing and having these kind of conversations. And I couldn't feel stronger about it because I think there's really good fruit when we learn from the example and testimony of others.
Hey, we're like really good friends.
Yeah.
How come I'm just now hearing about this? I mean, I didn't even know this. Usually I know things. It's like you just outed it right here on the show. I didn't even know. That's awesome.
I outed it right here on the show. It's going to be very exciting. I mean, they've literally changed Mexican law in order for foster care to happen, and they really only want back-to-back to be the folks that do it. And so it feels
wow.
like a tremendous privilege, like we're at this beautiful opening that God has done for us and for the children of this country. And I, you know, it's a collection. It's the Lord using his story weaving. It's the Lord saying,
yeah.
I want to build you credibility over X amount of years. I want to put you in a place where you'll hear this radical idea. I want to bring to you the professionals that can handle it. And so anyway, it's just fun.
Wow. Well, we're going to have to talk more about this.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't believe I'm only hearing about this right now. But, hey, it's been a fabulous year. Great stories just like that one. Great stories, a year full of them. So BethGuckenberger.com, you can go join the almost 600,000 people who've downloaded a show. And whether you're looking for something practical, something inspirational, something challenging, information about parenting, whatever it is,
happy
you can find it there.
Amen.
Happy anniversary. It's been a great year. We hope you have a great Saturday afternoon, a great week as well. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob. That's Beth. We'll see you here next week. Have a great week.